So many images of fighting and being compassionate and being kind and singing for the causes we believe in. I have another image for you this morning. I am prostrating myself because we need $32,000. We need a new HVAC unit, and for a mere $18,000, we will gladly name it for you. We'll put your name on a plaque. It will be there for many, many years. We also need $14,000 to make up a budget deficit. You will be hearing more about this. I'm so grateful to Pete for mentioning the activity that's going on in Greenville. Not only are we seeing a tremendous increase in attendance here, but everywhere we go, we hear people say, I've never been involved this much politically. I've never done as much. I've never marched as much. I've never protested as much. I've never written as many letters to my elected officials. There really is a great movement of change and resistance. I'm grateful to Ellie for being here today, and I really encourage you folks to talk to Ellie after the service. She's part of what's springing up. The sad and crazy truth of our lives is that most of that which divides us is intended to divide us and keep us powerless. I believe this so deeply that I'm going to repeat it. One of the sad and crazy truths of our lives is that most of that which divides us is intended to divide us and keep us powerless. Moments like Gandhi's victories in India and ML King's victories here in this country are as rare as any true shifts in political and social power. And they take a very long time. Gandhi's work began 50 years before the British finally left India, and he died at the hands of Hindu fundamentalists who believed not in Gandhi's One India vision, but rather in a hatred for Muslims that continues to haunt the subcontinent today and continues to haunt Greenville County. King saw a new America that would work to the advantage of the poor, the hungry, the marginalized by reason of race and class. It simply has not come into being, and it is not likely to, though socialist democracies in Western Europe provide excellent models. The best work we can hope to do finally falls outside of government. Though some government programs will benefit those we seek to befriend and act with together. Homelessness, lack of opportunity, ineffective medical care, second-class education, war, climate change, so many hard-shelled, haunting dysfunctions can at least be incrementally touched by nonprofits on the ground dealing directly with the people affected. Of course, there is a limit to these touches, but the central disheartening myth of politics is that if we just elect the right people, all will be well. Ain't so. Lyndon Johnson's War on Poverty and Great Society were designed to solve many of the social ills that dog our steps today. He had Democrats in both houses of Congress and yet failed on so many fronts to make things work better. There are liberal scholars who argue that many of those programs failed not because they were ill-conceived or bureaucratically hobbled, but they failed because they were underfunded and set up to fail. The title of this sermon is What is Left for Social Action? And the idea behind it is that most of us are already doing all we can do. After we have worked, shopped, cleaned, organized, washed, cooked, eaten, and repeated several of those tasks more than once in a given day, what is left for social action? What is left is for making sure your side wins the next election. What is left for volunteering at Triune Mercy Center or United Ministries or the Julie Valentine Center or the programs that benefit the homeless, the poor, the victims, the marginalized here in Greenville County? What do you have left to teach an RE class, serve on our board of trustees, plan a worship service, visit a sick member of the congregation through the pastoral care team, or offer anything of value to a world that feels like it has gone crazy? And my answer to that question is quite simple. What is left is what is needed. What is left is what is needed. Some of you know you have nothing left. You're already doing all you can do. And I beg you not to feel guilty about that. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. If you're already doing all you can do, don't feel guilty. But others of you can maybe write one more postcard, make one more phone call, attend one more rally, talk with one more friend about a project you care about. There may be very, very little left, but what is left is what is needed. We are dealing with a time of enormous anxiety, fear, uncertainty, worry, concern, and fretting. And as was pointed out this morning in the discussion group, people have already died. The ill-fated raid on Yemen resulted in 24 civilian casualties and the loss of one Navy SEAL. And people are already being arrested and deported in large numbers. It is important that we breathe deeply and relax into supreme confidence that right will win out in the end. It may not, but we need to believe that it will. For me personally, the work of attending all these post-election meetings and protests is work. But I love my work. I even love being tired at the end of the day. There's a wonderful quote from Simone Weil about being tired. She writes, "Anytime an apprentice gets hurt or feels tired, the peasants and the workmen have a fine expression. They say it is the trade entering his body." Each time we have some pain to go through, we can say to ourselves quite truly, it is the universe, the order of the world, and obedience to God that are entering our bodies. The efforts and attendance at protests and rallies and organizing meetings of these past few weeks has been an exciting connection to the resistance. We can't know what will happen, but we can know that the universe rewards effort. Showing up, being there, speaking our truth is always better than staying in our cocoons, watching from the sidelines, keeping our peace. We are the product of a long evolutionary process. Social change is not as slow as evolution, but it is a lot slower than our thinking about it. I can still hear Rodney King begging, "Why can't we just all get along?" After the video of his arrest prompted riots in Los Angeles. Well, we know the answer to that question too. We can't all get along because we don't process life through the same filters. You say tomato and I say tomato. Let's call the whole thing off. We can't. We can't call the whole thing off. No matter how angry we get, no matter how passive we become in the face of the overwhelming complexity of today's crisis, no matter how afraid we are, no matter how little money or time or energy we feel we have, we can't call the thing off for a number of reasons. One reason is purely and simply that we depend so much on each other. Taxes and government create roads and schools and hospitals and maybe most importantly, the Social Security system, which benefits tens of millions of Americans who buy groceries and gasoline and what Nancy Griffith calls useless plastic objects from Walmart. Our lives are so intertwined that very few of us can imagine self-sufficiency, and even fewer could pull it off. But another reason we can't call the whole thing off is because America is an idea. America is a concept. We say all are created equal. And even though very few believe it or put it into practice, it is still an idea, a concept that says this country, this society should operate on principles that work the same for everybody. Many of you know that I'm a huge fan of the Equal Justice Initiative in Montgomery, Alabama. That's why I asked Stephanie to put the website for the Equal Justice Initiative on the cover of your order of service. Please take that home with you and look at their website, eji.org. The leader of that wonderful organization is a man named Brian Stevenson, a brilliant lawyer and organizer who has worked miracles in the lives of so many who have gone to prison for crimes they did not commit, and for young people unfairly targeted in our country's current madness of mass incarceration. Stevenson once wrote a legal brief in which he argued, "I want the same justice for my 14-year-old African-American client as is given to a 70-year-old white CEO of a major corporation." We don't want to think much about that. But we know that ain't happening. Those two characters are not getting the same justice, the same educational opportunities, the same anything. They might have been created equal, but their equality went out the window pretty quickly after their mothers gave birth. Still, that equality is what we hunger for. It's what's pumped into our veins and circulates through our hearts. That is the dream. And yes, it is important that we, Unitarian Universalists, do all in our power to make that dream come true. Even if all our power is very, very little. Please don't feel guilty if all you can do is what you're already doing. I get that. There are times when I drop my head into my hands, and both my sweetheart Gabriel and my colleagues here at the office will tell you, I can let out a long, deep, slow sigh. It does no good for me to feel guilty about what I cannot do. It does no good for you to feel guilty about what you cannot do. What works is for you to feel good about what you can do. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Even when it is very, very little, only by feeling good about it can we generate the energy to literally take the next step. After I dealt with that young victim of sexual assault yesterday afternoon, I felt like I could not take one more step. But I did. Sometimes I'm ready to follow the words of the old civil rights hymn to keep on talking and keep on walking, walking up to freedom's land. But other times, I drag my reluctant, heavy limbs back out the door, back across the parking lot, to do one more action for the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. And that has to be okay. That has to be okay. I want to close today with the same funny story that I told last week. I tell it often because it always gets a laugh. In the past 7.5 years, two men have come up to me, one here and one in Augusta, and they said to me the exact same words. When I listen to you preach, I feel like I ought to be a better person. And I don't want to be a better person. I told that story to a friend who sometimes listens to James King down at Unity. And this friend said to me that James never makes people feel like they ought to do better. He always makes people feel perfect, just the way they are. So there you go. If anything about this sermon has made you feel guilty or like you ought to be a better person than you are, just forget about it. You're already among some of the most socially active workers for justice in Greenville County, right here in this room, right this second. Even if you think you should do more, you are the second among people who are already doing more. So go ahead and feel perfect just the way you are. Sometimes accepting things exactly the way they are is the clearest path to moving on to something better. Do your best, but forgive yourself when you don't. Life is too short for regrets and self-condemnation. Live it up. Mama used to tell us every time we went out the back door, live it up. Live it up.